Well, good morning on a very unexpected cancellation of our services today. I do want to reiterate that we had the parking lot plowed the day the snow ended and fully expected that the sunlight and the little bit warmer air would have melted everything. And it turned out that it did not, with the extreme cold. Talked to somebody who's been in the church many years, and he said the last time he can remember this kind of cold after a snow was back in back in the 90s. So very unusual, and hate it. And I'm fairly certain some folks probably came out this morning and hadn't checked email and didn't realize that we were not able to meet with the parking lot the way it is. So apologize for that. This is totally unexpected. But with a little bit of the parking lot dry and available, it just wasn't near enough space for everybody to park and be able to safely get into the building. So it is what it is, and I thought it might be best if we could connect with a little bit of a virtual message or a sermonette this morning and then proceed from that point with the rest of the week. So certainly unexpected with the parking lot and all the cold we've had. Let me give you a couple of announcements before we look at a devotional type of message. So on the bulletin you would have received today, this was going to be the last day for our Lottie Moon emphasis. And obviously, without us being there, we are going to extend that to next Sunday to finalize our giving this year for international missions and missionaries. So that will still be available for next Sunday. And then for this week coming up, Wednesday night, as of right now, everything should be normal with our schedule. The only addition is we did move last week's supper to this Wednesday night. So this Wednesday night at 6 o'clock, we'll meet there in the fellowship hall, and we're doing our simple menu that everybody seems to like with the pizza, salad, dessert. So that'll be this Wednesday at 6. And then after that, we'll move into our normal activities with our CIA kids ministry, our youth as they meet, and then our Bible study time in the sanctuary. So hopefully everything should be good for Wednesday. So those are just a couple of announcements for this morning. And so let me do something. This is kind of short and simple, but I think it's also interesting. Several years ago, we had a Sunday after a snow and a lot of power outages, and I knew that many people would not be able to attend, but we still met, and I think we had maybe 12, 15, I can't remember, and I shared an unusual devotional type of message that I'm going to do again this morning because I know so few people were there, and I thought it would be neat and appropriate to talk about snow. So I'm gonna kind of ride piggyback from something I shared several years ago when we had to cancel for, or we didn't cancel, but so few people were able to get there. So you may be a handful of people who remember some of this, and if not, it'll be, I think, an interesting perspective on snow. So, you know, I like the snow a lot, and some of you don't, and that's okay. But I love it. It's pretty. I like going outside in it. I like working in it. I've been plowing snow all week, shoveling snow. I enjoy doing things like that. And someone who knows I like snow actually mailed me a birthday card this week, and there's snow on the front. And on the inside, there's a note that says, "Enjoy the snow" on the card. It might be all we get. And of course, the card was sent prior to this past snow, so I thought that was funny and kind of ironic. But I do like the snow. So I want to start off thinking about snow. and turning to a dictionary definition of what is snow. So I found a couple simple definitions. Most of us don't think about it this way from more of a scientific perspective, but I think basic definition of snow is simply precipitation in the form of ice crystals. If you were to take the snowflakes and put them under microscope, which I've never done per se, but I understand that you would see some sort of a hexagonal form with the crystals. And basically, it's the freezing of water vapor in the air. So you could kind of define snow as crystallized water, which doesn't sound all that menacing when you think about simple water in crystal form. But it does cause havoc at the same time that it brings a lot of beauty, in my opinion. So my question really is this, when you think about snow. Does the word snow appear in the Bible? Now, I would like to sit here for about 5 minutes and not say anything and give you the opportunity to think through that question. Does the word snow appear in the Bible? Or you could just hit pause as you're listening to this recording and then resume after a few minutes of thinking about it. But I'm going to go ahead and answer the question and then kind of build off of this with a devotional thought for today. So if you were to go to a concordance, and this does depend a little bit on the English translation and how words have been translated in different versions, but if you were to go to a concordance, you would find that the word snow appears in the Bible 24 times. I think you'll find that these 24 times occur in a total of 14 books of scripture out of the total 66. Now, usually in the Bible, the word snow is used to describe the whiteness of something. So this could be a person's skin that has been infected with leprosy and has turned it white as snow. Or you'll oftentimes find references to garments, clothing, that is brilliant white as snow. So let me give you, and I'm not going to look at every single example, but I've made a list of some that I thought were either interesting or just to show you the variety of passages where you find the word snow. So Exodus chapter 4, Numbers chapter 12, even in those Old Testament, more like the Mosaic Law books, you'll find reference to snow. If you wanted to search and find or look for those, you'd see it there. 2 Samuel chapter 23 is one of my favorite places. And this is where you find, I believe this is one of David's mighty men who goes down, it says, into a pit on a snowy day and kills a lion. I wouldn't imagine killing a lion is easy to do on any day, but on a snowy day in particular, you would think be a little more difficult with your footing and wrestling with an animal like that. So that's always been an interesting verse to me with Benaiah, who goes down and kills a lion in the middle of a pit on a snowy day. 2 Kings chapter 5, you find a reference to a leper who is white as snow. The largest number of snow references is actually in the book of Job, and you'll find 5 different times that the word snow appears in Job. So if you ever get on Jeopardy and you're in the final Jeopardy category and something comes up regarding the most, or the book with the most references to snow, you better say Job. So a couple places in Job, chapter 37, verse 6. For to the snow, he says, speaking of God, God says, fall on the earth. So from Job's perspective, in his biblical worldview, he viewed even the snow obeying God's command to fall from the heavens and down upon the earth. In chapter 38 of Job, verse 22, when God responds to Job, He says, "Have you entered the storehouses of the snow?" Implying that God keeps storehouses for the rain, the hail, and snow. Psalm 51, of course, is David's psalm of confession and repentance. And in that psalm, in verse 7, David says, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." Book of Proverbs, you'll find several references to snow. Chapter 31, with what we call the virtuous woman or the excellent wife. The book says, she is not afraid of the snow for her household. And it's because she is prepared so well with clothing and all that's needed before a snow. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 14, Jeremiah asks the question, "Does the snow of Lebanon ever vanish from its rocky slopes?" It's interesting because even today, the same mountain peaks and slopes that Jeremiah is referring to remain covered with snow a majority of the year. In fact, back in 2013, when I had the tremendous opportunity to go over to Israel, we learned there that even today, Jerusalem is known to get 1 to 2 days of snow per year. So there is snow in the Holy Land, but Lebanon, that mountain there, does stay covered a whole lot of the year. Daniel chapter 7. Daniel sees God as the Ancient of Days and says that his garment was white as snow. Matthew chapter 28. At the resurrection, the ladies see an angel, and it is recorded that his appearance was like lightning and his garment as white as snow. And then the very last reference in the Bible where you find the word snow is in the book of Revelation. First chapter, where you find the description of God. And it says in chapter 1, verse 14, that his head and his hair were white like white wool, like snow. So there's quite a number of references, 24 times in most English translations where you will find the English word snow. Now, the most well-known verse about these ice crystals that form in the sky is in Isaiah chapter 1. And that's where I want to turn and just read that verse directly in that passage. So in Isaiah chapter 1, in verse 18, as Isaiah here is speaking, this is going to be about 700 years before Jesus is born and your New Testament begins. And in chapter 1, as Isaiah speaks of the rebellion of God's people, he encourages them in verse 16 to wash themselves, to make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from my sight. Cease to do evil, learn to do good. Seek justice, to reprove the ruthless, defend the orphan, plead for the widow. These are instructions God has given to the people. They are a rebellious people, and they are on the cusp of invaders coming into the land and then taking them into exile. So after giving those instructions, then in verse 18, the prophet Isaiah says, "Come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord." In other words, let's sit down and talk about it. And here's what God says to his people. "Though your sins are as scarlet," just blood red, "they will be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool." I think for most of us, that verse in Isaiah that is reflective of David's cry in Psalm 51 regarding being whiter than snow, I think that verse in Isaiah is probably a central verse when we think about snow, the cleanliness of snow, the metaphor of God's cleaning and cleansing, and comparing that to the pure white of snow. So I want to kind of close with something to think about. And then I want to play a couple stanzas of the hymn Whiter Than Snow, and then we'll pray. So let's think about it this way with the snow. I know some people see it as a total nuisance, and others like me see it as total beauty. But when you think about the comparison Scripture uses for snow and forgiveness and purity, I hope that you'll be able to see the amazing grace of God when it snows. Had a neighbor this past week. I was helping clear her driveway. Her husband had some surgery recently and was unable to take care of it. And she sent me a note later, and she told me, she said, I know that not many people feel this way, but she said, I see so much beauty in the snow when God sends it. So I want you to think about just the amazing grace of God when it snows. Now, just literally think about what snow does. You see outside the literal dirt of the world. I mean, God created, right? The dust of the earth, the dirt, the soil. And it snows and blankets that dirt completely in purity, whiteness, and silence. There's something, I think, strong with that, that led these writers, as they were following the unction of the Holy Spirit, I think there's something strong there that led to that comparison of forgiveness of sin and seeing literally the dirt, the soil of the world covered in that purity and whiteness. So you think about in your own home, maybe next time it snows, just sit there at the window before it snows and just notice what you see. Notice the stumps. Notice the browned grass right now, or the patches in your yard where no grass grows very well, or notice the cracks or gaps or holes in your driveway or maybe a sidewalk. Just notice kind of what we would consider like the dirty, imperfect things, and just watch as it snows. I actually usually stay up every time they're calling for snow, and I'll stay up until it starts. I just want to see the first flakes start to fall. And so I guess it was Sunday night. Kept checking about 10:20. Saw the first flakes about 10:40, 45. They were coming down, you know, pretty good. So I was content with that. But sit at a window and just watch the ground. You'll watch the world around you. And then when you see the snow start to fall, remind yourself it comes from God. Bible says that it is in His storehouse. And in the book of Job, you know, Job says, when it comes to that snow, it's God who says, hey, fall to the earth. So remind yourself it does come from God. But I really want you to think about this. I want you to think about how He covers our sins. Just like the dirt is covered by freshly fallen snow. And when God covers our sins, it gives us a refreshment of purity. It basically makes our dirty sins become white as snow. So I shared some of this several years ago, and I thought it would be good today with the context for so many who weren't there that Sunday and newer folks in the church, and so glad you are. And then for those who were there that Sunday, just a reminder of what the Bible says about snow and how it uses that word snow. So I'm going to play just maybe a couple stanzas. A guy named Neville Peter, I'm not familiar with the individual, but he plays piano and sings, and came across a version of Whiter Than Snow, that hymn that we've sung before. And I thought it'd be good to close by listening to just a couple stanzas of that. And then once that is done, I'll fade it out, and I'll just have a brief prayer for our church family going into the new week, and then we'll close with that. So don't forget, Wednesday night, we're back to our activities and supper at Sits, and hoping everything will be okay with that. So hope you do have a wonderful day and good, safe week, and we'll listen to a couple stanzas of Whiter Than Snow, and then I'll offer a quick prayer, and then we'll be gone for now.
Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I want you forever to live in my soul. Break down every idol, cast down every foe. Now wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Jesus, look down from your throne in the sky and help me to make a complete sacrifice. I give of myself and whatever
Father, how thankful we are for the reminder of the purity represented in Scripture, symbolized with snow. We pray that you'd help us to view the world around us, especially with the snow on the ground, as a reminder that you send the snow. And number two, it does show us that picture of purity, of cleanliness and forgiveness of the filth and dirt of sin. I pray that you would bless in this church family this upcoming week. Watch over each one. Grant wisdom to us. And help us to be mindful of the blessing of purity that is compared to fallen snow. Lord, bless in each home. Protect us. Help us as we seek to honor you and to be faithful to you in this upcoming week. We thank you for the cross on which Jesus died, the tomb from which he arose, the hillside from which he ascended, and the promise that he is coming back again one day to set up his eternal kingdom. Lord, bless in the homes and lives of each person connected to our church family. We lift up our prayer to you in the name of Jesus, the one who died for us and cleanses us and makes us whiter than snow. Amen.